This is the Sunday before the Thanksgiving, and a lot of people traveling. So we ask the Lord will bless them wherever they go. You know, there is a song called "Do You Know What a Smile Can Do?" You see, when one person smiles, it's so contagious, and then the next person starts smiling, and then everybody ends up smiling. Okay, now Thanksgiving is also the similar thing. We would like to encourage each other to really have the desire to be a thankful, you know, person. You know, give thanks, you know, all the time, because it can be very contagious. Now, let's say this morning you wake up, your wife is, you know, just saying that, "Praise the Lord," and children say, "Praise the Lord." That's really lighting up your whole day. Make it a bit different. When you come to church, you see people say, "Praise the Lord," and they start telling us, you know, what God has done for them. You know, that's really lighting us up day. So it's very important. It's very important for us to learn how to give thanks. So thank you for the worship team. Those are the, you know, very nice songs that we can sing together, and the meaning is really encouraging. So we would like to thank God for that. Turn to your bulletin, because I have a few verses printed up there. I just quote a few verses that taken from what Paul said in the Bible. The first one, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Let's read it together, and you tell me which word is wrongly written, quote here, okay? "Thanks be to God for His incredible gift." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Yes, thank you. All right? Similar, I mean, there's nothing wrong saying incredible, but just saying that the Bible there saying that indescribable. Alright, this is the word from Paul. And then the next one, let's read together. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Okay, the next one. "But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Yeah, I would like to share a little bit with you, because, you know, when we read through Paul's letter to different churches, he has a lot of, you know, things he teaching the churches, but at the same time, I can see a lot of joy and thanksgiving in his writing. That's really encouraging us a lot. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is something that I would like to start with, to share with you about Paul's testimony. You know, Paul said that, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will." God's will for all His people to give thanks, you know, in Jesus Christ. Give thanks. And then when we read this, we know that Paul understands that God has created everything, and He wants to bless us. So Paul decided to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he understands that God's grace is never ends. You know, when you look at the Bible, what you realize is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 to 10, Paul mentioned about his suffering, his hardship. He mentioned about 28 things there, saying that how difficult was his ministry, his relationship with a lot of people, his health, how difficult was those people, you know, treating him, both from the church and outside the church. How difficult. He has all the reasons to complain. He has all the reasons not to give thanks to God. He has, you know, a lot of good reasons to just ask God why. But in between 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 11, that's chapter 9, thanks to be to God for His indescribable gift. He is talking about how should we thank God, because God is good. So can you imagine? Sometimes we say, okay, I can give thanks, I can be happy because everything goes fine with me. Everything okay, I'm good, in good health, my work, everything okay, my colleague, they are good to me, my children, they are healthy, they are happy, and they are, obeying the parents. If everything goes well, it's easy to give thanks. But just imagine, when Paul say that thanks be to God, with chapter 6 in the same book he wrote to church in Corinthians, he has 28 different kinds of suffering, hardship in his ministry. And then when you turn two pages after chapter 9 in the 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 from verse 23 to 29, he mentioned 25 different kind of hardship and sufferings. This is Paul. I mean, where he got this kind of power or the desire to praise the Lord in spite of all this suffering and hardship in his life. You just turn to Romans chapter 8 again. From verse 35 to 39, he mentions 17 different challenges in his life, in his ministry. So brother and sister, if our logic say, because someone says something bad to me, so I am not happy today, I am not going to give thanks to God, this is human logic. This is not God's logic. Paul managed to see through the cloud and know that behind the cloud there is a sun. Paul knows who he is serving. Paul knows who he is. To be a child of God, all matter is who God is, not who I am, not what I am facing. All because God has what has done for us. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is very powerful. This is very powerful. He counts God's blessing, and then he realized that we can give thanks to God in all circumstances. This is something we need to learn, because otherwise, when we look around, we start picking up reason to complain, and then end up we become a very unhappy Christian. And then a lot of people, they are scaring to be Christian because they say, I don't want to like him, I don't want to be like him or her. So what message are we sending out? Yes, we can be unhappy, but we can turn to God and count his many blessings in spite of all kinds of difficulties, even suffering. We still can praise the Lord, we can thank him. So this is the testimony from Paul. And then the second perspective, the testimonies from Paul, I believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is another reason that Paul can give thanks to God, because he discovered very important secret how we can be thankful, how we can be joyful, how we can thank God all the time. Alright, Lisa is helping us to put those verses on the screen. Alright, very familiar verses. Let's try and really understand what God, what Paul means about give thanks or be joyful. Okay, can we just read this a few verses once? Let's read together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Okay, let's stop here. Alright. Do you mind to, let's go back to verse 4 again. Okay. Now, let's try to put where the love, the word love is, we put thanks. Thankful or thank, you know, whatever, you know, you're just saying that, yeah, you know, just thanksgiving is passion. We just replace it. Alright, let's do it again. Thanksgiving is passion. Thanksgiving is kind. Thanksgiving does not envy. Thanksgiving does not boast. Thanksgiving is not proud. Thanksgiving is not rude. Thanksgiving is not self-seeking. Thanksgiving is not easily angered. Thanksgiving keeps no record of wrongs. Thanksgiving does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Okay? Thanksgiving always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Thanksgiving never fails. Alright, you realize that we can replace works like this and try to understand better what we mean by thanksgiving. Okay, now one more time, Lisa, those verses. Okay, I tried this before with you people, I believe. Okay, let's try just this 2.5 lines. Okay, we are not going to read through whole. But you can get the idea. Now, where the love is, put your name there. You understand? Okay. Let's say me is Wong. Wong is passion. Okay, put your name there. You don't need to say up very loud because sometimes you feel embarrassed. But anyway, yeah, we'll try, okay? Wong is passion. Wong is kind. Wong does not envy. Wong does not boast. One does not. Yeah. Okay. Let's stop here. Am I wrong? Because some of you say wrong also. I hope not. I hope you say your own name. Okay. Every time when I read the Bible, I realize this is a beautiful paragraph talking about love, talking about, you know, good stuff. You know, you can replace thanksgiving in place of love. But when we put our name there, we feel like, well, is it true? You know, is Pastor Wong patient? Some of you say maybe yes, but those that know me, they may say differently. Okay. But is it kind? So when we replace our name there, we just feel like, wow. It's hard. It's difficult to do it. It's difficult to do it. But how can we do it? Let's try verse 4 again. Okay, we read it another way, differently. Now, we put Jesus in place of love. That means we put Jesus in the place of thanksgiving. We put Jesus in the place of warmth. Okay, so let's read again. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud in going on and on. What I'm saying here, Paul found the secret to be a joyful and thankful Christian because of Jesus Christ. Not because of he or whoever, but because of Jesus Christ. You understand? This is the driving force. Every time when we come back to the Lord and say, thank God because of Jesus Christ, because I'm saved, I'm, you know, God's child. When you start thinking this way, there is nothing impossible for our God. There is nothing impossible for our God. So now face the reality. When we know that God is possible, when Paul looked at God and knowing that You know, he is not able to do it, but God is able. So that's why even he faced, you know, 20 over 30 kinds of suffering, hardship, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of complaint, a lot of hurting feeling from the church, outside the church. He has every reason to give up, saying to God, that's it, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to love those people. But Paul can overcome this all because of the Lord, the God that he believed, that he trusts. And then he realized that, yes, I, Paul, cannot do it, but with the grace and, you know, power of God, he can do it. And he realized one important thing, brother and sister, this is the area, this is the point I want to stress this morning. You have all sorts of reason to be unhappy. You have all kinds of reason to complain. And people understand, saying that, yeah, I know you have reason to complain. But Paul purposely choose to praise the Lord. Purposely choose to thank God, to be happy, to encourage people to love each other, have joy in the Lord. This is true because in our life, there are a lot of things that we can pick up and say that this is not good and start complaining. But at the same time, if we turn around and look at, you know, the reality, we do have a lot of things that we can thank God for. This is the attitude for the Christian life. How are we going to live our life? We can pick up problems and discourage ourselves and then complaining all the time, all our life. And people will say, yeah, you have reasons. I know, we understand. But if you decide, I'm not going to live a life like this, I am learning from Paul, from the Bible. In spite of all kinds of difficulties, I'm going to decide to praise the Lord, to thank God. And you can find a lot of good reason also. So what kind of, you know, life you want to live? This is the driving force, you understand, because with Jesus Christ, we are not only capable, we are able to do it because of Jesus Christ. And with our sincere desire, say to God, we know that there is a lot of difficulty, suffering, or even misunderstanding, complaint out there. But I decide to push that aside, and I decide to thank you. So when you see people, you praise the Lord for each and every one of them. Not because they are perfect, but because you find good reason to say, because each one, they do have a lot of things that we can praise God for. So brother and sister, let's learn how to live, you know, a thankful life, a Christian life. This should be our healthy Christian lifestyle. This is very important. You know, the third point here I'm mentioning about the power of thanksgiving. The power of thanksgiving, as I start from the very beginning, thanksgiving, those kind of, like desire or attitude can be very contagious. Can be very contagious. I share with you, you know, when I was back home a couple of weeks ago, I have all sorts of reason to be very down when I arrive home. I walk in my father's room and then call him and hold his hand for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. He cannot recognize me. I was so down, I feel like, wow. Just feel so bad. So some guilt feeling because I have been away for too long and he cannot recognize my sound, my voice. And he even cannot recognize who the name is. I have also for reason to be down. But I was so thankful that after midnight, you know, the angels singing after midnight. Have you heard that? I heard it at night. Because of the jet lag, I cannot sleep. I was so awake. Actually, Emily was looking after my mom, so she didn't sleep, I didn't sleep. And I heard my dad start singing. Two things, when he started singing, my tears came out. One thing was, the first time our children came back from Africa in 1994, my dad taught them sing two songs. Children's song, because at that time they were young. And my dad danced with them. And that night, my dad called out my three children's name and started singing. And I was so touched, I said, you know, he cannot remember me, but he started singing, he, you know. And then immediately followed by a song I never heard, but the message is so clear. He just saying that, praise the Lord, thank God. My dad had been kind of, not unconscious, I mean, he kind of lost his mind for years already. Last year we went back, I was not sure. After 2 weeks, he recognized me. I was not sure. But my family told me my dad never complained. Never, not even one word. Never complained. Life is not easy for him. Never complained. So the angel singing after midnight, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He just make out his own song and start singing a little bit too loud. Maybe the neighbor will be not happy, but anyway, I just so touched. I praise God for my father. I praise God for my father. And the second day my brother came and we have Holy Communion for my parents. And it was interesting when my brother asked him, okay, tell me who Jesus is. And he started saying out clearly. He said, I love Jesus, I trust in him, you know, he died for me, everything. So he took the communion because he couldn't go to church. That really lit up my life. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, he know, like, whether I come back or not. But I know that he has joy in the Lord. And just that makes a big difference, made a big difference. So that's kind of contagious. You know, the time I was at home, like 8 days, it made a big difference because of my dad's thanksgiving, those kind of thankful heart. In the last week, you know, before the afternoon, the first mission conference, a few of us, we have lunch with Dr. Murray. Dr. Murray was a speaker last weekend. During the lunch, I mean, we have maybe a few, two or three here. We were together with Dr. Murray for lunch. And Dr. Murray asked one thing that is very interesting. He said that if we earn our income is $5,000 or above, we are extremely rich. He said that only 15% of the world population, their income, annual income, is more than $5,000. And when I think about that, I have a lot to praise the Lord for. Why? Because sometimes we feel like the economy is not good, we start complaining, we start saying that how we can, you know, say, like, you know, live in this kind of difficult situation. We forgot to praise the Lord because 85% of the world population, they are living maybe in, you know, the income like 5,000 or less. When he mentioned that, immediately I realized most of my friends in Africa, the whole family, averagely 1 week, $10 US dollar. That means 5 weeks. That means 5,200 for a family of 7 of 10. That is their living standard. So, when I look at this, I start thanking the Lord. I say, Lord, really you have blessed us a lot. Bless us a lot. In a sense, I think American here, we are extremely rich in the world standard. Extremely rich. So, if we want to find complaints, we can find reason. But if we want to give thanks to God, we have a lot of reason to give thanks to God. It's a matter of perspective, a matter of understanding who we are and who God is and what does it mean to us. So brothers and sisters, that's very important. That's very important. And then also, two Sundays ago I was preaching in a church, a lot of old friends, but I didn't realize that in the past 2 years a lot of things happening. They lost a few very key person in the church. At least two of them are elders in the church. I didn't realize. And I didn't realize why they asked me to preach on suffering. So I preached. After that, a few of them came to me. One of my best friends, he was the elders for the deacon, for the mission department. Wholeheartedly for the Lord and pushing, just encouraging mission, local mission, global mission. And then I heard that he passed away 2 years ago. He was so, good in the church, but also had a good testimony in the society. He was 30 over, not yet 40 years old. He was the second man of the, electrical company in our area, in our whole state. And I heard that his helicopter crashed and fall into the rain jungle, and the search team never gave up. They tried for the 16 day, and the 16 day they found the body. It was not a good thing to see. The wife came to me and hold my hand saying that it was difficult, but she started praising the Lord. I was so touched. Another man, Indian man, in the church, he was with the Air Force. When the Air Force crashed, he was admitted to the, emergency, almost half the brain took off. And he was so abnormal for many years, no one wanted to accept him. And that morning he came to me, he said, your message helped me. Praise the Lord, he started counting God's blessing. I said, how can this person counting God's blessing? You just look at him. His head, part of it disappeared. And he started counting God's blessing, saying that God saved me. In normal situation, he said he won't survive. You see, when people start praising the Lord, they can find all kinds of reason to praise the Lord. Can find all kinds of reasons to praise the Lord. That is really encouraging. Another thing, it was three days ago, Emily and I, we went to Greenville to meet the family. When we moved out from the house in Africa, this family, they moved into our house. So they are missionary also. And early this year, he got a tumor in his brain and he was evacuated back to Australia. And our church prayed for him and his family, since January. It was a miracle. When I see him step down from the car and walk towards me, I cannot imagine he has been through the kind of, sickness. And he started just sharing with me about God's grace and his passion for the lost. And I say, this person, how can he still just thinking about the lost soul and how he would like to serve the Lord? He considered his health, but he decided to praise the Lord. He decided to do something for the Lord when he can. That's really encouraged me. So he brought up all the updates about our friends in Africa, how the church going, everything. A little bit sad news, some friends, seekers become very radical Muslim. But beside that, many good news. I was so impressed, I was so thankful, because he decided to give thanks to God. You know, not complaining about his health, not complaining why God allowed him to be sick. And this morning when I turned the radio, I was shocked because the program called Healing, okay, the next word I forgot. I didn't put on my glasses. And the pastor sitting there asking a question to his congregation. He said that if you are sick for 20 years, do you think that this is God's will? And he said that personally, he doesn't think that this is God's will. Because God loves you, and you have no reason to sit for 20 years. So now is the time for healing. I'm not sure. I doubt about this kind of message. I doubt about it. Because we have seen a lot of Christians, they went through all kinds of difficulties. They pray, and God, in some way or for some reason, didn't solve their problems. That happens all the time. I think Paul has good reason to teach us, in spite of all kinds of suffering and difficulties, he still can thank God. Never doubt God. This is so powerful. Another thing is, when I was home this time, November the 1st, the Sunday, you know, the news came out about 2010, November 23rd to 26th, a huge conference going on in Malaysia. And the neighboring countries will be invited, and I will be the key speaker. I was so impressed, not because they invite me to speak, but I was so impressed because the huge denomination never willing to work together with other churches. Never. I have been speaking in similar kind of, you know, mission conference or youth conference for some years, some time already. But I never had the chance to see a huge denomination like Southern Baptist would like to cooperate with our independent churches to do something. In Malaysia, that is almost unthinkable. Unthinkable. I'm from that big denomination. But when I graduate, I serve church with other churches, and they just cut me off. That's how many years ago. Unthinkable. And this time they decide to use the biggest church in Malaysia. Every Sunday they have 3,000 to 4,000 people worshipping. Okay. And they are using that church building for next year's conference. I'll just praise the Lord, because if it's not God's doing, that is impossible. It's not going to happen. We can dream, but you know, we can hardly imagine that is happening. And they were the first, you know, to print out the bulletin and then print out the news, you know, weekly news, and then asking people to pray for this meeting for next year. That is a little bit more than a year ago they start asking people to pray. And I was so encouraged, because I never realized in this particular state in Malaysia, we have 40% of the population Christian. 40%. So I can see the potential if next year when we start sharing, encouraging, challenging, we pray that we'll see a lot of people going out to the mission field. A lot of them. Actually, this is already happening in Malaysia. Because May and June when we were in China and Central Africa, Central Asia, all those places, those people prepare for our time there. They are missionary from Malaysia.
So I see a lot of good things happening. So praise the Lord. God is doing great things, you know, all around the world. And He is doing great things among us also.
So let's decide to choose to praise the Lord and not counting other people's wrongs. Because that is one of the reasons that drag us, you know, far down, you know, and not sure how to praise the Lord. We remember, you know, people say something not good to us, and then that really hurt our feeling. Then that really, you know, prevent us to praise the Lord, to thank God. So I encourage all of us, stop complaining, keep no record of wrongs, and be thankful and be blessed. May God bless us. Let's pray. Father God, I would like to thank you for who you are, for who we are, and for the way that, Lord, you teach us in the Bible, and the way that Paul, you know, shared his testimony with us about, in spite of all kinds of difficulties, he prays you, he gives thanks to you. This is his lifestyle. That's why he is experiencing victory all the time. And he is so powerful. Lord, you want us to learn Paul. You want us to be a thankful Christian. You know, help us so that we can glorify your name, so that we can help many other people and they can know you. We want to thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.